Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Yes. A signal. Tradition like none other. This is like the Masters.
That's right.
Every Friday we do the Masters. This is the Masters, only better than the Masters.
You made it. No, you can do it. I know I can do it. I've been telling myself this all week. Like, you don't have to get up at 4:50 forever. It's just this week, and here I am on Friday.
Yeah, let it breathe, Benny.
With that, we are off and rolling on a Friday. It's Zach Bye filling in for Mike Evans. Been a fun week with you here, Stink. How you doing today on a Friday morning?
I am doing great, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing good, man.
Yeah, you're up, you're ready, you're primed, things are good.
That's right, man. I've been sitting here for the last 45 minutes just getting myself mentally prepared
right,
for this show.
Right, just
and
prepping. While
prepping
I was doing TV on Fox while you were just over there like a sensei. You know, you were just over there, kind of home.
Just trying to get centered.
Right.
Just trying to get centered and ready to attack this show. Like,
right. Yes. Yes. Fist of fury. I love it.
What were you doing on Fox? Who are you talking to?
First things first with Jenna Wolf, Kevin Wilds, and Nick Wright.
People hate Nick Wright around here.
Oh, right. Yeah. People were livid about his four-win prediction.
Yes,
man.
Yes.
Yeah. Boy, did we prove him right? Did we prove him wrong? We won five.
Four?
Four?
No,
how
not
dare
around
you,
here.
Sir. Not around here.
Not on my watch.
We won five.
No,
games.
Seriously, there was some venom coming his way this time last year. I remember we had a picture of him up here.
Yeah.
Said Nick wrong.
Yeah.
What were you guys talking about?
We talked about the fact that Jadeveon Clowney said that the guards were not good athletes and they were just maulers inside
and we're
trying to get one. No, he's 100% right.
He's
100% right. Yeah. So, I mean, they thought I would be offended by that. I was like, no, it's the truth. I mean, think about this, Zach. And this is what I was saying on TV. And I probably have never said this to you. Name me one other position where like athletes aren't matched up, right? So the athlete that you're playing against is a far superior athlete to you. So like athletes are not matched up in any sport. You're not matched up with a like athlete, and the lesser athlete is expected to win 100% of the time, and if he doesn't, he sucks and you're great. So if I get caught in a switch, in basketball, and a 6'3 guard blows by the Joker, we don't yank the Joker and say, he sucks, he can't defend.
It's like, where's your help on the backside?
Right. Like, we don't look at that at all.
No.
Right? But if you match up a wide receiver and you get him on a linebacker, you're like, oh, what a great matchup. They designed that. Bam. You know, it's not his fault. If I don't block you 65 plays in a row, I suck and you're great. It's the most skilled position in football, offensive line. That's why I get irritated when people talk about skill positions. It's the most skilled position because you're the lesser athlete 100% of the time, and you have to win 100% of the time. You know what that's called? That's called a skill.
Mm.
So, yeah, we talked about why I wasn't offended by that comment. Not offended at all by that comment. It's 100% right.
Yeah, but that is a fascinating point. That you're making like the clearly lesser than
right.
athlete by every measurable, likely by just simple height and weight measurements. And then you got your strength. Well,
strength is strength. Height and weight is essentially the same. Strength is like the strength thing is you're pretty close. But when it comes to just athleticism,
yeah.
when you're talking about 40s and eye tests and shuttles and all that, you're not close.
Right.
You're not close to the guys that you're playing against.
Well, the guys that the Broncos will be playing against this weekend are the same variety that the Seattle Seahawks rolled out, the same variety that the Minnesota Vikings rolled out their backups. Now, those backups are likely the best players that their hometowns have ever seen, and we're all conference in college. They're in the NFL for a reason. But they're not the caliber of Jerry Jeudy, you know, not the caliber of Von Miller.
Right.
We're going to see Von Miller for the first time this weekend. Is it – what kind of scenario for Von this weekend to roll that dice, to take that risk of, hey, let's find the balance of knocking the cobwebs off, but we actually need you to – stay tip-top healthy as you play football for the first time since 2019.
Yeah. I think the balance is, you know, the snap count, the number of plays. How many plays are we going to give you? And, you know, listen, one play is all it takes to get hurt. I mean, that's – we know that. But, you know, we always had this theory when I was playing, if you're playing at 100%, the likelihood of you getting hurt, it's when you're standing around, it's when you're not, it's when you're trying to protect yourself, it's when you're not going full speed, it's when you're at half speed and somebody catches you at full speed. You know, it's when you're trying to protect yourself. So the bottom line to me is, however many plays he's out there, series, 7, 8, 10, whatever it is they want to get, whatever it is he wants to get, go, you know, hell bent for election, and then get out. And that's all Vaughn. I mean, honestly, that's all Vaughn's looking for. He's just looking for that feel. He's looking for that, you know, that playing high. He's looking for that feel. He's looking for that, you know, that connection. He's looking for a couple of hits. He's looking for a couple of pass rushes where he bends or he dips and he feels like Vaughn. And then as soon as he has that feeling like, I'm back, I'm still Vaughn, and just put, there's, now you're at a point of diminishing returns, right? As soon as you get that and you feel that, you're like, I'm good. I'm ready to roll. Out, take your shoulder pads off, you know, have a hot dog, talk at halftime, you know, all that. Talk about your boys and how good it felt to be back out there and how excited you are about this football team. And this is the best football team you guys have had since the 2015 season. And you're back to that 2015 form and you're going to wreak havoc on the league. And, you know, I mean, all the stuff that, that athletes talk about on the sideline.
Sure.
That's what we need.
How about this one from Millennial Blake? Offensive linemen, more like offensive winemen. Just shut up and block so the playmakers can win games.
Yes, Millennial Blake.
Sounds like Stokely. Somebody cross-reference this number here.
Yes, yeah.
All right.
I will tell you this, though, Millennial Blake. The five guys up front have to do their jobs exceptionally well for you losers on the outside to catch a ball.
I love it.
So, just understand that.
I love it. All right. Hey, what the heck? We didn't talk about this yesterday. What the heck is going on between Bradley Chubb and Garrett Bowles? Whoa. Take a dive into this one coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Motors.com. Listen to me, you know, you and me will fight at 3 o'clock, and there is nothing you can do about it.
What the heck is going on between Bradley Chubb and Garrett Bowles?
I don't know. It's
no,
like
my zone is GB's zone.
It's like you and D-Mac. Every time I
want to pound his ass.
Right. Every time I leave here, I'm like nervous at that transition. And when you guys go off air and D-Mac goes on air, if there's going to be, you know, a Buddy Revell moment where you're just going to beat him up.
I love Darren McKee.
All right.
Now, we had a little dust
now,
up.
Who's Darren McKee?
we did have a little dust up over a mug in a game that we were playing, but the water's under the bridge. But I will tell you this. Yeti, like, this is no joke. Yeti, the company, from Austin, Texas, because of this on-air beef, can't make this up, you're looking at it right now.
Yeah.
They sent to the studio a mug with my name on it, a custom Yeti mug. Here's the problem. On the other side,
it says
D-Mac.
Right.
So I got to choose to either look at D-Mac when I go to take a drink or to put D-Mac's name outward facing on the mug and just switch the head of it.
Wow.
But yeah.
So that's a shared mug between you and D-Mac.
They sent it to me. So I'm just going to take custody of this one because the last time we tried to share the mug,
That's how the dust up happened.
it turned
kind of like Bowles and Chubb. They don't like each other.
So I put all my arms and legs into and let him trust.
So we were out of practice. This was 2-3 weeks ago, and it was a real thing between the two. It wasn't like just like a classic little camp push shove.
Mm-hmm.
It was a full blown to the ground, whole team being pulling them apart, and then. It didn't stop there. The words kept on exchanging. Bradley Chubb was being held back. Garrett Bowles threw his helmet into the equipment thing and walked in the building, had to be pulled back out 20 minutes later by George Payton. It wasn't a normal camp fight.
Right.
But it was like, okay, it is what it is. This stuff happens. Turns out, on Wednesday, it's a full-blown all-out fight again, apparently, with more really serious words exchanged, and that was going on the first time, I can tell you for sure, from being there. And apparently Bradley Chubb, it was a late stage shot at Bowles, a physical shot after the fact, apparently.
Right.
How much should we, be putting this in our back pocket? These are two leaders and two starters. I mean, how unusual is this?
It's not unusual to fight. That happens. It's unusual for it to escalate to that point, right? Where it's beyond frustration. That's where the fights happen. It's beyond frustration. Like, the frustration happens because, let's face it, we're doing one-on-ones or we're in a team period and I'm holding you and you're irritated with me holding you. And then I say something like, well, don't get held, dumbass. And then it's on, right? Like, that's on you. Don't get held. And so the frustration boils over and there's a fight. And usually at the end of the year, you guys laugh about it. But this seems like it's gone beyond the normal frustration to actual dislike for one another.
Yes.
And dislike the way Bowles plays. And listen, man, I put this like, defensive linemen don't like to get blocked. They hate to get held. They complain all the time. They are big whiners about it. And like I said, don't get held. And we know, last year notwithstanding, there is a propensity to not just hold, to blatantly hold. Like for me, if I'm holding and I'm inside your body frame and I've got your shoulder pads, it's on you. You got to be better. Don't give me your chest. Like that's... But we know that Bowlesy has a propensity to like a crab, to just, bear hug you and or tackle you.
Yeah, they hit you with the elbow drop back.
Right, yeah.
Tackle by Bowles!
So, yes, there you go. So, like, this has gotten to the point where it's boiled over to where, as a coaching staff, you're going to have to manage it. And you love the competitiveness. You love the going after each other. But I understand... when it gets to the point where, a guy gets around you and you tackle him. Cause that's how injuries happen. That's like, hey man, you just got beat. So I will put that part, and that's just what I'm assuming goes on because I've watched him play. That part is unacceptable.
This is Garrett Bowles, after the fight.
I already know what the headline's going to be. Bradley Chubb and Garrett Bowles at it again. So, You know what? We're brothers. I love Bradley Chubb. Like I said, it's two guys going at it. They're competitive. You know, he's one of the best positions. Well, one of the best players in his positions, and so am I. So when you guys got two guys like that, they're going at it consistently, day in and day out. All it's doing is making us better. Like I said, I feel bad for every other tackle that has to go against him on Sundays, because after today, I think I get a scout team guy, so I don't have to go against him as much anymore. So we're just going to prepare him for the season. I know he's ready. I know he knows I'm ready, and so we're going to get after it.
And this is Vic Fangio after the fight when asked, can something like this, can discord like this carry over into a football game?
Yeah, it would. You know, I don't know about carrying over to a game, but obviously it could. Yeah, something that we have got to attend to.
Okay. Wait a minute. I don't know if it could, but obviously it could. Excuse me? Yeah. I don't know if that would work, but obviously it could. Yeah. I don't know if that tastes good, but obviously it's delicious.
Von Miller.
Well, I don't know if I'm thirsty, but man, is my throat dry.
Delicious.
I mean, what the hell are we talking about? What are we talking about? Okay, let me see if I can nail it. Let me see if I can nail it. Crank it up.
Paris, Munich, everybody. Oh, man. Took till Friday, but I was hoping we'd squeeze one of those in there.
Yeah.
This is Von Miller talking about the fight.
I don't like that stuff, huh? I remember the last time they got into it, y'all had it on the news. It was like, it was on the news, right? It was like, yeah, it was Hall of Fame, and then it was the Gary Bowles and Chubb fight. Like, it was crazy. But, you know, it's just, that's just practice. You know, we, you know, those guys go against each other all day, every day. And, you know, I can just, you know, things get heated. But at the end of the day, you know, we know how to put that stuff aside and go play games. It's always Chubbs and Bowles, though. You know, you never see Vaughn, you know. I'm just chilling. I'm chilling.
What do you make of this? I mean, like, this is a little deal, right?
Yeah.
But it's a little deal, but it's got the deal on the end of it, just to, as a caveat, to watch this one moving forward.
Yeah, you know, I will give Bowles a lot of credit. He's right. After, you know, after training camp, you don't see each other that often. You I don't know how many one-on-ones they do during the regular season, but you'll see, you know, every Thursday, you may get a rep.
Sure.
Against each other in one-on-ones, if they're still doing one-on-ones. And then some of the times it won't be padded, you know, because there's only so many padded practices you can get during the course of a regular season. So, yeah, it should dissipate. It should be no big deal. It's not a big deal. It's just a deal.
Sure.
Right?
I like that.
Yeah.
Perfect place to put it. Just put it in your back pocket in case you ever need to retrieve it. Just interesting. Okay. Andrew Luck? I haven't heard from Andrew Luck in a while.
Right.
In Colorado?
What?
Throwing a football? We'll get to it. Morning Brew coming up next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep lightning, and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino.
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet.
Let's get it on.
Luck out of the gun. Drops back to throw, has time, walks in the back of the end zone. It's Dontrell Inman! Touchdown! Touchdown for the Colts! 18 yards away, Dontrell Inman finds the end zone for the third consecutive week, and the Colts opening up a can right now on the Texans. It's 20-0.
Andrew Luck. That was the voice of Colts Radio. Millennial Ben had to dig back a couple of years for
right.
that. Because Andrew Luck figured out that the NFL ultimately wasn't for him, but he was in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
He does have a friend that is a football coach that skis out in Breckenridge. And the next thing you know, Andrew Luck is showing up at Summit High School in Frisco, Colorado to literally partake in the high school football's practice. He was playing scout quarterback. Is this where the itch starts? Is this where, like, I remember the old stories when Michael Jordan retired and he was, like, hitting up B.J. Armstrong. He's like, let's just shoot around. Like, and he was in a full suit at the Bulls facility, just shooting around in a full suit and platform shoes. And B.J. Armstrong was like, I saw it. He's like, he wants to be back here. I'm not asking you to predict whether he's coming back or not, but do you think in the realm of possibility, Andrew Luck, who's only 31 years old, in NFL terms, he could have played for another decade from right now.
Right.
Is there a small possibility that Andrew Luck is getting the itch?
No, I don't think there's any question that, now, he's a, you know, intelligent, he's a good dude, right? And so, you know, it comes down to, like, we'd all continue to play if it was just on Sundays. It's, you know, prepping Monday through Saturday that sucks as right. you get older, right? But you're right. He's still young. He walked away. He wasn't even in the prime of his career yet. He's just about ready to enter the prime of his career.
Right.
So I could see that happening. I could definitely see him coming back and making another run at it. Yeah, and it would be great. It'd be great theater.
It'd be a great story.
Oh, yeah, and he's a really good player. Really good player. So I'd love to see it.
This is a guy who led the league in touchdown passes in 2014. Won the NFL Comeback Player of the Year. Was a four-time Pro Bowler. This was all before he hung it up. I mean,
right.
It was but I knew Andrew Luck was different and didn't, quote-unquote, need football.
Because of the neck beard?
No.
I thought he was different too, that neck beard. I'm like, how can you, I just thought, what do you do in the morning? Like, how can I make myself as ugly as possible?
Let's just grow it off my neck.
Yes, right? Just grow the hair on my neck.
But I'll say this, I knew he was different when he went back to Stanford for that last year. He was the presumptive number one pick.
Yeah.
He had redshirted, he had the eligibility to jump to the draft. He went back to Stanford. I'm like, that's a different cat. We'll see how it all shakes out. Interesting, however much stock you want to put into it. All right, next in the Morning Brew.
I don't think he'll miss any time in the regular season.
That is the voice of Vic Fangio yesterday talking about Noah Fant, who will not play in the final preseason game, who does not have a catch in the preseason. Noah Fant, I am very bullish on Noah Fant. I know you're not quite as bullish as I am.
I like you a lot.
But Fant, in year number three with Teddy Bridgewater as his quarterback, expectations for Noah?
It's a good question. I mean, you have, presumably, you have a ton of weapons, right? With, you know, the return of Cortland Sutton, with Jerry Jeudy, with KJ Hamler. And you've got tight ends in Albert O and Noah Fant and Sherbert.
Sauberman.
That.
Delicious.
Yeah, that can really play. And you know, are you really going to adhere to the philosophical approach of we're going to run the snot out of the ball and we're not going to put it in the air that many times?
We were actually trying to throw incompletions.
I think that there's a lot of players and only one ball. I'm not the same bullish guy. I think the NFL is played in the middle of the football field. That's where the majority of the game is played. The majority of the passing game is played. And I think he's a third or fourth guy on most progressions. I don't think he wins in the middle of the field consistently, at least in man coverage. In zone, you know, he'll find a hole and all that stuff. And he's exceptionally gifted if you match him up on the outside and all that kind of stuff. But I'd be interested to see over the course of the career of Teddy Bridgewater how much tight end love he gives. How much goes to tight ends over the course? Because last year, maybe, you know, not that's notwithstanding, last year they don't have a real tight end, like a real threat guy.
Right.
They're more blocking in Carolina. So I'm sure they didn't, you know, distribute the ball much to tight ends last year. It'll be interesting to see.
I'm going to go back and look at that. Next in the Morning Brew.
So, yeah, I'm going 100% with what I'm able to do. But, you know, continue as we get more reps and I get more team reps and more work in, more of those natural reps are going to come in.
That is the voice of Saquon Barkley, who yesterday participated for the first time in live drills versus the Patriots in joint practice. I thought these were mostly over, but no, they are currently taking place. But Barkley is trending to be ready to go against the Broncos week one. How different do you view the New York football Giants when Saquon Barkley is healthy as opposed to when he's not?
Way different. I mean, the guy is, he's one of those guys that you have to have a plan for. And the thing about Saquon that I think he needs to, like, this is the maturation process that he needs to go through. And maybe, you know, this is going to sound crazy, but maybe having an injury like he had actually helps him do this. And what I'm talking about is he has to know when to give up and just get me 3 or 4 yards.
Sure.
Because with Saquon, it's boom or bust.
Yep.
It's a house call or it's -2 or it's 1 or it's 0. And what I need from you is consistency. Just like we talked about with the Bridge and the Bridgewater and Lock kind of competition. Consistency wins the day. I need to be in 2nd down and 6, not 2nd down and 11.
Right.
And that's really the maturation that needs to occur with Saquon.
Going into year 4, that rookie season, over 1,300 yards, 11 touchdowns, hasn't been quite the same since then. Next in the Morning Brew.
There is zero chance you'll ever see Matthew Stafford take a snap in the preseason for the Rams as long as I'm the coach. That will never happen. So he is not going to play. That's why it's important, Doug, for us to try to get competitive ops against some of these other teams in practice settings. Until you tell me that if a guy gets hurt in the preseason that we'll get those games back or they'll add them on the schedule afterwards as you get two games because you lost those guys in the preseason, it's hard for me to make sense of it.
That is the voice of Sean McVay really planting his flag. You're never going to see guys that I have expectations for play in this darn preseason. Are the Broncos making a mistake here this weekend by playing their starters?
No. They're in two entirely different, categories. You've got a team with Super Bowl aspirations that will win double-digit games every year, and you've got a team that hopes if they don't make mistakes, if they can possess the ball, if the defense can create turnovers, hopes at the end of the season to be scrapping for the last 7th position as a playoff team. There's a big difference in expectations. You haven't produced in 5 years in this organization. So, yeah, there are completely different expectations, completely different, you know, I mean, you want to talk about one team's in the HOV line and the other team is in a snowstorm in the right lane with the flashers on going 22.
All right. See how it shakes out this weekend. What does Cecil Lammy think about Vic Fangio's decision play Teddy Bridgewater and other starters this weekend? We'll bounce that question off Cece coming up next. Cecil.
Don't ever cut off Cecil like that.
That's right, Peyton. Cecil Lammy, my guy. How you doing, Cece?
Yo, my dudes, what's up this morning?
Hey, man, we're doing great. Ready for another preseason game. What do you think about Vic Fangio making this decision to play his starting quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater, and a chunk of the starters?
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to get from that. You know what I mean? Like, with Cortland Sutton playing, it makes sense. You go, hey, you're going to knock off the rust, get him some reps. He can do that mental checklist that Cortland was talking about, like, get that thing out the way. Von Miller playing, you know, that would make some sense, you know, knock off the rust, et cetera. The Teddy Bridgewater thing, it doesn't make any sense. I wouldn't mind seeing Brett Rippon for 4 quarters. Not because, you know, Brett Rippon's going to develop. Brett Rippon's going to be a coach someday. That's his best track. But, like, I don't know why you would do this. It's interesting to me. I guess Broncos fans are going to go see the only preseason game that we're going to see live and in person here in the Mile High City. You get a little bit more of a show. But for me, I mean, you're always risk injury, but it's just kind of you're not going to learn anything. You've made the decision, the correct decision, the decision you move forward with. But, yeah, I would have liked to have seen Teddy Bridgewater sit this one out.
How about the importance of just as a starting offense that you have a little bit of continuity before you start prepping solely for the Giants a couple of weeks away?
Yeah, the problem with that, Stink, and you're probably right on the money with this in terms of getting that continuity together, but let's say Teddy goes out there and throws a pick or, you know, something where there's some roughness to this display. Now, there shouldn't be, because I don't think the Rams are playing anybody, like anybody. So, again, like, what do we learn? I understand getting into rhythm, getting prepared, ramping up for week one, all that. But, and I guess maybe that's what I'm concerned with, is the public narrative. The public, a lot of Broncos fans didn't want the decision to go to Teddy Bridgewater. I've been saying, D-Max been making fun of me for it, but like, get on board, everybody. You know, now you've got people texting in or tweeting at you saying, I'm not going to root for the Broncos. Good. Get out of here. Don't need you anyway. If that's going to be your attitude towards this. So for me, just thinking about like, what if Teddy doesn't look good? Now he should. It's Teddy. He's steady. That's what he does. Generally outside of what, a couple of days of training camp, he's looked steady. So, you know, if that comes up where maybe he doesn't look as steady, I know people are going to start talking, and it's all for naught. He's the starter. Let's roll. Let's go. Let's get off to a 3-0 start and then see how you can face against Baltimore. That's the first real test and a huge test for me coming up in week four.
Cecil, do your expectations for this football team, or have your expectations for this football team, changed with the announcement of Bridgewater as the starter? Like, what's your outlook on these Broncos?
It's got to be playoffs. You know what I mean? You make that call, and it's made for several reasons, but Vic Fangio's on the hot seat. We all know that. Spin doctors won't admit that, but that's what's happening. Like, you have a coach who has to win now. This team has a ton of talent. That's the thing. And Stink, you know this, studying the whole league. Zach, you know this as well. Like, there's a lot of teams that are just pretenders, and they got a couple of nice pieces, but they don't have the whole thing. I'm not saying the Broncos have the whole thing, to be sure, but man alive, top to bottom, outside of quarterback, you look at depth they have, you look at the talent they have. We haven't been able to say this, not with a straight face and not realistically, over the final few years of the John Elway regime. George Payton has done a fantastic job building that depth. So now with that quality of depth, you should have better special teams play, which you need, by the way, because you're going to be playing in close games. But yeah, the expectation does change, because Teddy means make a run with this unit, see what you can get, and that means make the postseason. Not 9 wins, not 8 wins, and oh, how's it look? And oh, we made a surge at the end. You're not going to be here at the end if you're talking about, hey, we're going to win 8 games this year. Look at the beginning before the bye week. Are they, and there's 10 games, right? So are they 7-3? Are they 6-4 before the bye week? After the bye week, it's almost all divisional games. I think 5 of the games are divisional after the Broncos week 11 bye week. So I think by that bye, we should have a better idea of where the Broncos track is going.
They're going to have to get down to 53 eventually. And I guess my question to you, is there a weakness? Is there a place where you could see them upgrading, or even a trade possibility? They're deep in the defensive backfield. Do you see a potential Bryce Callahan trade? Do you see anything going down, or do you think they're just going to try to basically go with what they have, because they are, like, at some offensive positions, unproven but exceptionally talented?
Right, and I'll say this, Stink. I just texted you about Marquez Callaway as like a sleeper in fantasy drafts down there in New Orleans. Right? I'm sure you're hearing great things about the former undrafted Tennessee wide receiver who's with the Saints and just blowing it up. Tim Patrick, man, and I love the guy. I want to see him here forever or whatever you got to say, but like, you have this depth at wide receiver that's just stupid, right? And you go, okay, well, Royce Freeman, you're probably not going to trade him for much anyway, but he's done such a great job, you know, and now with Boone a little bit banged up, you're going to need that guy. Are you keeping a fullback / H-back like an Andrew Beck and Adam Prentice? What are you doing there in that position? Your tight end room is cramped because Eric Salbert has come on. He didn't come out of nowhere. He came from Drake, which is where their tight ends coach, Wade Harmon, came from Drake as well. And also Harmon was in Atlanta when Eric Salbert was drafted by the Falcons. So anyway, I get annoyed when people are like, it's out of nowhere. It's out of nowhere if you weren't paying attention. Anyway, I look at the again, that talent that you have, and I go, Tim Patrick will fetch you a second-round pick. You get look at these teams that are banged up a wide receiver. I mean, is any Baltimore wide receiver healthy? Marquise Brown's banged up. Rashad Bateman, their talented rookie's banged up. Tim Patrick is a guy that can start. And if Sutton comes out, let's say Sutton looks really good. He's back. Hey, look at him. He's just like he was before. If Sutton's back on Saturday, I'm picking up the phone. And not that I want to trade away Tim Patrick, but man alive, you're cramped. This roster is cramped with talent. That wide receiver room is packed. So maybe the Callahan thing, like you said, but maybe a wide receiver needy team, the Saints, the Ravens, et cetera, come calling for a guy like Tim Patrick.
Cecil Von Miller is going to play this weekend, make his on-field debut for the first time since 2019. Are you a little bit, you know, how do you view this one? The decision to play Von, he wants to play, wants to knock the cobwebs off, but the understanding of you got to keep this guy healthy. Where's the balance here?
Yeah, the balance is, you know, get him in, get the rust off, shouldn't take much, and then get him out of there and get him ready for the regular season. Because as a football fan, I'll take the analyst hat and talk show host hat and all the other hats that I wear. I'll take that off and just say, as a football fan, I feel robbed. I feel absolutely robbed because we've never seen Von Miller and Bradley Chubb. Like, I know rookie season was pretty damn good for Bradley Chubb, but since then we haven't seen that combination. I'm selfish. I want to see that. I want to see him go get 30 sacks. I want to see him go get 35 sacks. I want to see that combination together, and it's 17-game season. This is going to be, you know, monitoring, managing, playing time. If you go a little NBA, maybe give a guy a rest game here or there. That maybe wouldn't be a bad idea for some of those older players. But, yeah, just watch out for Vaughn. Get that rust knocked off, and then get him out there and get him attacking the quarterback, because I'd really love to see that one last dance maybe here in Denver.
Well, I will say this. I talked after the joint practices to a few Minnesota coaches that I'm connected to, and they said Vaughn looks like Vaughn. He looks like the reincarnation of Vaughn from 2015. In shape, quick, dip, movement, power. So that's a great sign, Cecil. Man, we always appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much.
Be good, fellas.
See you, Cece. There he goes. That is Cecil Lammy.
Cecil Lammy, presented by Golden Oak Lending.
All right, can Teddy Bridgewater bring one specific thing to the table in 2021 that the Broncos haven't had in years? What is that thing? I'll tell you next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.